Previously on Talk to Dad.
Podcasting should be more about like it's more punk rock.
And also them yelling like sheesh, because that's the meme that all the kids are into.
You made Dear Batman.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. That's what we were saying, that we've created Dear Batman.
Mooses.
I like saying meese.
A lot of moose?
Yeah, it's just moose.
Maybe it's just moose like deer.
Goose.
No, that's geese.
A couple of days of hard backpacking really makes you reassess things.
We've got a trash can over there for when you're done with your trash. I myself have always eaten cicadas.
I wonder how they get that loud, because... Wait, I'm sorry? I think tardigrades are really cute.
Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 100. No, not 100, 247. I've got Phoebe with me.
Hi.
And John with me.
Hello.
John is Phoebe's cousin. And when I say with me, I don't mean right here in the room with me. I mean with me via the miracle of Zoom. John, introduce yourself to the podcast. Tell me who you are, where you are, and what's your favorite food.
So my name is John, and I am currently in my house at Layton, Utah, and my favorite food is probably pizza.
And John, have you ever been on a podcast before?
No.
Well, welcome. It's a pretty exciting thing. So I'm glad this was able to happen to you today.
John's pretty cool. The last time I saw him using this computer, he was using it to learn the entire Napoleon Dynamite dance.
Oh, yeah?
Or a dance.
I think I saw a video of that somewhere, maybe on our family group chat. Where did you send it, Phoebe?
John doesn't know that I did this. I think I put it on my Facebook story.
I'm telling on Phoebe. I am telling on Phoebe. Phoebe, did you know that your cousin sends secret videos of you out to the internet?
All the time.
Now you do.
Constantly.
So, how is everyone doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Doing pretty good?
Doing good.
Phoebe's doing well. It's pretty nice here. The weather is really good. I know most people listen to podcasts because they want to know how the weather is, and the weather is pretty good today. It's getting a little bit hot. It's above 80 degrees here, but it's sort of partly cloudy. How are things in Layton, Utah?
A little hot, but probably better than Texas, maybe.
Yeah, it's not cloudy. There's like no clouds in the sky. It's just hot.
Blue skies. I've heard that your house is pretty cool because it's like right on a mountain. Is that true?
Yes.
And like...
You know, because it's on a mountain, John has picked up a new business venture.
Oh, yeah?
To tell him about it.
So we went up... So we have a trail that's like... It's called the Adams Canyon Trail. It's right up behind our house. And it's like the busiest trail ever. And so we thought of an idea.
Like a hiking trail, right? We're talking about hikers?
Yeah. Hiking. But John's at the top of the trail, so he doesn't have to hike to it. Or kind of to the top.
So we have like a shortcut in our yard that goes to the, like above, or like above the switchbacks at the beginning of the trail.
So people start lower, they hike up to close to where you are, and then they keep hiking a little bit further. Is that, have I got an accurate picture?
Yeah, they go up the canyon
they go up the canyon after.
Yeah.
And so on Memorial Day, we bought a bunch of Gatorade and water. We put it in a cooler and brought it up, and we started selling it. We sold the Gatorade for $2 and the water for $1.
Yeah.
And... not only do we sell it for cash, because most people aren't carrying cash on them when they're hiking, but we did Venmo.
Oh, really? So, because most people are going to have their phone with them because they want to take pictures, right?
Yeah.
And because that's like a smart thing to bring on a hike. Yeah.
So they can Venmo you some money and get a Gatorade or a water.
Yeah. And I made $140.
Wow. That is really impressive.
In like 5 hours.
That's pretty cool. You know, when Phoebe was a kid, she always wanted to do a lemonade stand, and I don't think I ever let her, except maybe once when we did a yard sale.
We did once when we did a yard sale, but it was not that successful. It was not as successful as his Gatorade and water.
Because you had like hikers that had no other choice. They were like, wow, it's really hot. I'd really love a Gatorade or a water right now. But unfortunately, I'm all the way up this trail where they don't sell Gatorade and water. But wait.
Right after all of the switchbacks.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Here's an enterprising young man selling water and Gatorade.
And most people were like really proud. And they're like, that's such a smart idea. Like they got really proud. Like, because we had to haul the cooler up there. And they're like, did you go up the switchbacks? And I said, we just live nearby.
You should have told them you did.
That's pretty cool. So if you made over $100, how many did you sell?
Like, two cases of 28 in Gatorade.
You must have got a pretty good deal on them. Did you buy them? Did you buy them cheap and mark it up?
Yeah,
they were like cheap, like $10 a case.
That's a pretty good deal. How many a case? 12.
$10.
Oh,
for 28 in a case.
Oh, for 28, that's a really good deal. And you could sell them for $2. That sounds like a really good business model.
I personally think they should raise the prices on them.
I feel like if I could invest in your business, I absolutely would, because that sounds like a really good business model. Are you going to keep doing this through the summer? Because it seems like when the weather gets hotter, your business will be even better.
I might do it a few more times in the summer to raise some more money.
You might need like a beach umbrella to put. And then a little beach chair.
We're gonna buy one.
Yeah.
Invest like off their investment.
Very cool. So because you're up against the mountain, do you get wild critters in your yard?
Oh yes.
Yeah. What kind of wild critters do you get?
Like many snakes, and then we have little like lizards that have grown really big, and they live in our driveway now. Mostly, yeah. Like, because there's like bushes on the sides of our driveway, they live in those.
Snakes and lizards. Do you get
and skunks?
And skunks.
Raccoons. And then deer.
Do you get turkeys?
No, we do get quails.
Quail. Quails are kind of cool because they got the little wobbly thing on the top of their heads. Yeah. I don't know why that makes them cool, but it kind of makes them cool.
There's like a giant dog that's always here. And some like little kids.
Yeah. The giant
you get
dog
that when you live near a mountain.
Is like a snickerdoodle dog, right?
Snickerdoodle? It's a golden doodle.
Golden, the same thing. And lots of little kids. I haven't been to your house yet. I plan on doing that probably sometime this summer in the next few months.
Yeah. And then we've got like an old rusted down playground kind of area. Like we've got like a old huge metal slide.
It's like a post-apocalyptic playground from what I hear.
It's scary. It looks like you could easily break an arm on any single piece of equipment. It has like the old school carousel and like
I think
we go around.
It seems like the kind of playground like if you pick up the swing and then just let it slowly like swing by itself and take a black and white video of it, it would be like creepy for like either a horror story or like a story about children who were abducted.
Yes. It's like
you should get some stock footage. You could sell the stock footage too. That'd be great.
That's true. Every single piece of equipment there has like probably been banned from elementary schools.
Yeah. You know what is a surprisingly, like a shockingly dangerous playground equipment that I think you have? The teeter totter is very underrated in terms of dangerousness.
Yes.
Because I feel like I know so many people who've been on the teeter-totter and they were like at the top and someone else just jumped off and they smashed and broke their tailbone.
Yeah. There's like a teeter-totter. There's a merry-go-round. There's like the giant metal slide is like it doesn't sound that scary, but it's resting on like cinder blocks and it's like right by like a big like steep hill.
Where you could just slide off it and then roll down the hill.
And that's the same way with the teeter totters. Like there's like a bunch of like
and there's no railing on the slide either.
Yeah, there's a bunch of like sharp rocks on the next like on the bottom of the teeter totter. So if you were to fall off you just get like
also right by the trampoline.
It sounds very dangerous. Sounds like a liability.
There's like a giant jungle gym kind of thing that you like climb on, but like there's like a bunch of posts that only like the four corners are the only ones actually sticking into the ground. The rest of them were also like resting on like blocks of wood or like not even touching the ground.
That's great. I really like that. It sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like a throwback to kids like me that grew up in the 20th century where we just lived with the danger that we might not make it to be an adult.
Yeah,
that's very exciting. I know Phoebe has been kind of busy lately because you've got your job.
Been very busy.
In fact, we're squeezing in a podcast in between shifts on your job, and so thank you very much for that.
Of course. I have a side hustle now.
You have a couple of side hustles. But the one that I most wanted to talk about is your emergence as a controversial figure in the world of social media, specifically TikTok.
Yeah, so far that hasn't made me, there's no promise of money in that so far, but.
I think that's probably a good expectation to have, that there will never will be any money. You will just be a controversial figure just for the fun of controversy. Can you tell us about your controversy?
Well, recently, Olivia Rodrigo came out with a new album, which was a gift to the world. It was amazing.
She's like a singer, right?
Yeah. She's also the lead on High School Musical, the musical, the series. Anyway, the album, super good. But when she released it, I'm trying to think how I can like concisely explain this. Basically, all of her songs are pretty much about her co-star on the High School Musical series and about their breakup. And everybody knows it's about him, and it's not subtle. And I don't think she's even trying to hide it. But there are people who will get really mad if you suggest that because they think you should just leave Joshua Bassett alone.
So especially the song, her first hit song, Driver's License, was specifically about him, right? And the rest of it's just sort of like boy-girl angsty type music.
Yeah, I mean, we all know. Like, she's not being subtle here. Technically, she hasn't publicly come out and said it's about him, but they pretty much, I mean, anyway. They pretty much have, though. And so I noticed that the Spotify canvas on one of her songs, like the little animation that comes up, is a pair of like beat up high top Converse. And I noticed that that is what he wears all the time. It's like his signature look kind of thing. And it's like in all of his Instagram pictures. And so I did a little like screen capture video of like that. And then like his Instagram with all these pictures of him wearing those. And people, it took off very quickly. And people were really, really angry about it.
So I joined TikTok right before you did, or maybe about the same time you did.
Before. Good. Maybe like a month.
Maybe
before.
Like a week before. Not that long before. Yeah. And right before you posted your controversial video, I posted a video that I thought went kind of viral, and it got...
It was like 4,000 views or something on it.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. I think it was about 4,000 views. 4,000. Right now it has 4,772 views. And I was like, cool. That's by far like the most I've had. Most of mine are like between 100 and 200 maybe. You posted your second video was this post with the Olivia Rodriguez video. I'm pulling up your account right now. And it got, right now you have 117,200 views.
Yep.
With, I'm going to mute this so it doesn't start playing, with 18.6 thousand likes and 333 comments.
And probably maybe 95% of those comments are like overtly negative.
People saying, leave Josh alone.
Leave Joshua Bassett alone. And then all the others are like, everyone wears Converse. Leave him alone. And like literally in like at least probably like five languages that I saw. Like some of them are clearly like Spanish or Portuguese, but some of them like I have no idea. But I still know they're all saying the same thing because every comment says the exact same thing.
That is one of the interesting things about TikTok is it's very international.
Yeah.
But yeah, people from all over the world were coming for you and you have been canceled in many different countries.
Probably. Yeah. So anyway,
Actually, all of my TikToks have done pretty well. Like, I think my lowest, I've only posted like 4 because I don't use TikTok that much.
Yes, you have posted 4. Your lowest one has 400 views.
Yeah.
Your highest one is the one we just mentioned, but then you posted like a follow-up to that one.
Yeah.
It only has about 900 views.
Like 900.
But it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Just about all the hate you're getting from the first video. And it has 900 views. And then you posted another one just like yesterday, maybe, that has almost 700 views.
Yeah, that one's like, it like got a lot and then it's like totally died down now, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, the TikTok fame. TikTok is really weird. Like their algorithm is very strange. I think there's something to like, and I'm not saying you didn't deserve all your views. I think they try to like give you some early views to kind of suck you in.
Yes. Also, I kind of knew that one would get big because it was right as soon as the album came out and it was getting all of this attention. And it was kind of like, I'm not saying it was an original hot take or like even a good one, but it was like something that no one had pointed out yet. And there was like a ton of videos like that. And so, and I used all the hashtags. So I kind of knew it would get like at least a good amount of attention.
Yeah. But TikTok's algorithm is really strange because like for a couple of days or for most of this week, it had my account totally shut off and I have no idea why. Like my videos were getting 0 views. Like I did like 4 or 5 videos in a row that no one saw and I'm not sure why. And then like they lifted their ban on me and suddenly people started seeing those videos, but only a few people. It was very strange. I don't really care because I'm not trying to be TikTok famous. But
I mean, I'm not either. It's just happening.
It's just happening. Yeah. You just lucked into it.
Here's what I'll do. I'll do like a little TikTok about like, oh my gosh, look at this dad in Texas and he bakes bread like so pure. Everyone go follow him and then you'll get all the views.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's pretty funny though.
I'll just post something about you and then it'll work out.
Did it stress you out that all these people were commenting on your video or did you just think it was funny?
Not really. I thought it was pretty funny. It was like, I think if it was something, if I had made something that I was like legitimately proud of, or it was like something more personal, I think maybe I would have been hurt by all the people telling me to like deactivate my account and that I sucked and that I was words that I can't say on the podcast. But because it was like this random stupid video I made that took me like 2 minutes, I like really didn't care. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. I think that's the right attitude to have for sure.
It was weird though, for sure. It's a very different experience from my first time going viral where it was like universally loved and everyone thought it was funny and BuzzFeed posted it.
We talked about that on the podcast, but you had this random, was it on Instagram where you posted it the first time?
It was on Twitter.
On Twitter, a Twitter post about your graduation party where we had these balloons that were like letters and we rearranged them to make goofy words. And for some reason it went viral. And you had tens of thousands of views. And then it also got picked up by like BuzzFeed and a couple other places.
It got millions of views, but it got more on Instagram because BuzzFeed picked it up. And I like signed a contract and like all these different, it was weird, but this was very different.
Yeah. Very strange. Yeah. It was weird that like the comments, I guess just because of the nature of it and celebrity and people that
it's just
are like,
something people like to get very heated about that like doesn't really make like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was just a short little funny video, but it seemed like the ratio of people that were like negative was really high on that one.
Really, really high. The one cool thing that did happen is the one of the only, I swear, not negative comments I got was the lady who does Olivia Rodrigo's Spotify canvases, like the lady that did the animation.
I thought it was a guy. Wasn't it a guy?
No, it was a girl.
Oh, okay.
That's just your bias.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was a guy that that commented on it.
No, it was this girl. I think she's like 20. She's like my age. But she does all her animations for like her music videos and her Spotify canvases. She commented and like talked about how she made it and stuff. And that was cool.
And about how Olivia Rodrigo had explicitly asked that there be some Converse All-Stars in the canvas.
Yes.
Which kind of validated your theory a little bit. She didn't come out and say it.
A little bit.
She didn't come out and say, yes, it's about Josh. It was more like a LOL. She did ask for Converse.
Which I'm not saying it validated it that much, but it did a little bit because there are some people commenting like, oh, she doesn't even have anything to do with those. And
yeah, that was funny.
Wrong.
John, What do you think about your cousin going viral on TikTok? What do you think about TikTok in general? TikTok's a little bit crazy. I can't say I recommend it for everyone because there is a lot of horrible things on TikTok.
Yeah, like most of the kids in my grade have like a phone with like TikTok on it. But like, it's like the weirdest thing. Like, I don't understand. Like, what's the point of like watching other people do dances and then like making them go viral?
Well, the weird thing is, so like TikTok is different for everyone. I guess a lot of social media is like this, but depending on what you watch, it sort of tailors it to your interest. So when I get on TikTok, mostly what I see are like things about like Japanese language or cooking or, I don't know, certain types of comedy. But it like, I don't see most of the dances because even though that's a huge part of TikTok, that's not what I'm interested in. Yeah, and I guess, I don't know, you have to be on it a while before they figure out what your likes are. And that's the bad part, is you might see a lot of stuff that's like weird and inappropriate.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of that stuff. I see, what do I even see? Honestly, I do see a lot of Olivia Rodrigo stuff now. I am like a little bit obsessed with her, so like not mad about it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see I'll see a little bit of cooking stuff, a little bit of like just funny stuff. But yeah, I don't get the dances as much because not something I could ever contribute to, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of like scientist accounts that I follow where they like debunk science stuff or like, you know, food nutrition stuff. And I don't know. I find that stuff kind of interesting. I don't know. Similar to stuff we talk about on the podcast sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I'm pretty sure it like adjusts to like what you see and like what you like what you just said.
It does. And I'm not sure exactly how it works, but it's kind of, it's almost creepy how much they can figure out about you. Just by like really which quickly. Videos you're interested in. Like, I think it knows that I'm probably like a guy in his 40s who lives in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they know.
Yeah. And it's weird they can figure that out.
With there's like this clothing website that's really cheap that I was looking at, and they've got so much stuff on there. They like mass produce all these things. But if I'm looking for like a particular type of like I was getting a swimsuit on there. And if I click on one that I like, that I kind of like, that's like closer to what I'm looking for, I can go to like the suggested ones and I can like get closer and closer until it knows exactly, like weirdly specifically, like what I want.
Yeah. It's very strange how these companies have ways of marketing to very specific people.
Yeah.
Anything else exciting?
I mean, it makes it a better experience.
Going on. How is your school's out now, right, John?
Yeah. It just got out last Thursday.
Oh, yeah? For some reason, your cousins, the people here, Will and Henry, they got out really early this year, like before Memorial Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That never happens.
I know. So it feels like it's been summer vacation for a while. Do you have any big plans for summer vacation, John?
Not really.
No?
I haven't really been planning anything.
Do you have like a camp or anything?
No.
No.
I don't think so. They actually go camping there.
You're just going to sell Gatorade and...
Yeah, just this last night, we had some friends come over and we set up a tent up at the top of our yard and we camped up there.
That's cool.
Put on a fire. Had s'mores.
You got to watch out for all those snakes.
Yeah, just this morning, my little brother, we were like playing with some water guns and he was walking down like he... Because like... this happens like a ton with like all this weird snakes experiences. But like he just sees them and they just like your heart, he just like, they nearly give him a heart attack. Cause like, but he's not scared of them. They just like surprise you so easily. Cause if you make the smallest movement, they make a ton of movement.
There is something about snakes that like, even if you're not like necessarily like afraid of snakes, the snakes are just sort of unnatural and you have... You know what it means to have like a visceral reaction? It's like you have an automatic reaction to snakes. I feel that way too.
I feel like visceral is like an automatic, like full body reaction.
Yeah. Like even before you think about, oh, hey, there's a snake. Unless you like really like snakes or you have a lot of experience with them. There's something about seeing a snake slithering that just kind of like you automatically react
to it. It's off-putting. And they go so fast.
They're cool though.
Yeah, just like looking at one kind of like moving, it looks really cool. Like we find some in our yard, like just in like the open areas where like they can't like go into trees like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just like, we just like keep our distance. We'll be like, just look at them and just like staring at them slithering for like a while. It's just like.
Does Charlie still have a snake, your sister?
No, she gave it to my older brother's friend because he's just like a snake nerd and loves snakes. He just got like his closet's just like full of like areas, like cages and things that he keeps a snake in. And so he's just got like tons of snakes.
That's pretty
and, like,
scary.
When he saw it, he's like, I've never had this type of ball python before.
Yeah.
And so she just let him have it because they didn't have enough room for it and stuff like that. But there's a small like tree like right next to our window out in our living room, and it's like a small little tree, and there was a small little bird's nest with like little baby birds that had just hatched.
Uh-huh.
Those little pink blobs, and we were all like, ew, they're so gross. But it's like right out our window so we could see it all the time. And Maggie loved these little Maggie is seven. Yeah, Maggie. So
your little sister.
Like, yeah, and she was like, I love these little, she just like loved the little birds. And one day we were like doing some yard work and we were walking past that area and we were like carrying a wagon, and all of a sudden Maggie stopped pushing it and her face just went blank. And she looked at the tree and there was like a huge snake, a bull snake going up the tree. And, like, you could just see its mouth just in there, just like, rah, rah.
No, that is
the birds.
Really,
she was traumatized.
Kind of horrifying. So yeah. She saw a snake eat baby birds. That's what you're
that
telling
she
us.
Loved her favorite
and,
little
like,
baby birds.
It's right out the window, so we could see it right there when we wanted to. Maggie was like, she's like, I can't handle it. So she ran into her room and started crying in the pillow.
Someday she's going to have to talk to a therapist about that, probably.
Yeah, it was so sad.
It's very sad. I see your dog.
Gross too.
I see your snickerdoodle dog right there.
Snickerdoodle dog?
Yes.
Yep.
Good dog.
So, let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have a follow-up on a news story I did last week when we talked about how people are eating cicadas. Have you heard about the cicadas on the East Coast, John?
Yeah.
So there are these giant bugs with big orange eyes, and they come out every 17 years, and they're just everywhere, just like millions of these cicadas. And yeah. They're really loud, and they're really big, and they just cover everything. And then after a few weeks, they go back underground, and you don't see them for another 17 years.
Yeah, just recently, like last summer, we found like sticking to the trees, we found little golden cicada shells.
Oh, cool. Yeah, like there are different types of cicadas that live all over the place. These particular cicadas are called Brood X or Brood 10.
Yeah, and they're like everywhere. Those are the ones that like go underground. And then like,
yeah, and they just come back every 17 years. And there's different broods around the country, but this one is in the southeast of the United States. Apparently, yeah, a big trendy thing to do this time is to go ahead and eat them. Like capture them. What most people do is they freeze them and that kills them, and then they cook them up and eat them. Well, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has had to warn people that if you are allergic to seafood, you may also be allergic to cicadas. Because apparently cicadas are related to shrimp and lobsters. So when people talk about how shrimp are just the bugs of the sea, apparently that's true. I think that's bizarre that insects are actually related to lobsters and shrimp. Your thoughts?
That's kind of weird.
But I guess that makes sense. They're all like crustaceans. I'm probably not actually. Just kidding. But
that's just confusing.
It is really confusing. There's the FDA tweeted out on Twitter, we have to say it, don't eat hashtag cicadas if you're allergic to seafood, as these insects share a family relation to shrimp and lobsters. I like shrimp and lobsters. I don't eat that many insects, though. Maybe I should if I like shrimp and lobsters.
We've eaten insects on this podcast before.
We have. We had crickets one time.
Your next one is the cicadas.
The crickets we had were just kind of dried. They kind of tasted like sunflower seeds. I also had crickets when I was in Japan one time. They were served to us at a little guest house that we stayed at. And they were kind of good.
They're not like terrible, but, and this is like truly disgusting to me even to say it, but the little wings and legs kind of get like stuck in your mouth.
Yeah. We talked like, about that last week. People that eat cicadas recommend removing the wings and the legs because they're not that good. But the rest of them apparently are quite tasty.
Yeah.
But if you have a seafood allergy, you may want to steer clear.
Now I'm intrigued.
I know. I would try them. If someone has some cicadas they want to cook up so we can try them on the podcast, I would do it. Unfortunately, we are not near where the cicadas are.
I don't know if that's unfortunate. Can you really?
So we can't go gather them up and try them ourselves. But maybe someday.
Pretty fortunate.
I saw an episode in a cartoon where cicadas were everywhere, and they had to like cover themselves in like this, like they called it armor, but it was just like a bunch of clothing they put on, and they were acting like it was acid rain or something, and like they were just getting hit, like we're all gonna die because they were everywhere.
Was it Gravity Falls?
No, it was Craig of the Creek.
Okay, Craig of the Creek. Not familiar with that one.
It's a sequel to the show that you made about living in Greece, Greg of the Greek.
Yes, I'm sure it is. It's related somehow.
It's a spinoff.
Anyone want to share their story?
I can. All right, I've got to pull it up. So, ironically, I had to pull it up because I was messaging someone from my side hustle. But this is about someone with a much, much more successful side hustle. It says, an Among Us-shaped chicken nuggets just sold for nearly $100,000.
That is somewhat insane.
Yeah. So that's basically the whole story. McDonald's has these like BTS, which is like a Korean like K-pop band. These BTS chicken nuggets right now, which I think are literally just chicken nuggets, but it's like...
Yeah, I don't like a meal understand combo. That. BTS so it's BTS Happy Meal or like a BTS meal, yeah. But it's just chicken nuggets. It's just chicken McNuggets.
I think what it's supposed to be.
There's
is
a couple
like
of sauces.
What
I
they
think.
Order when they go.
Yeah, there's a couple of sauces. There's like a Szechuan sauce and another sauce you can get with it.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like this is what BTS orders when they go to McDonald's. But anyway, someone from one of those Happy Meals got an Among Us. Like the little characters from that video game that I've never played before, shaped chicken nugget. And the starting price was 99 cents, but it ended up going for $99,997.
Wow.
Imagine, like, I could pay for all of my college, all of my
yes,
housing, and like not have to worry about money until I had like a full-time job. Like, imagine that being your life.
And what do you do with it when you buy it? Like, it's going to go bad. They don't last that long. Are you going to, like, maybe they'll, like, preserve it in, like, some...
So, they...
In plastic, like, inside plastic?
They did. When they sold it, they're going to deliver it frozen, and it's also air-sealed. Because they're only supposed to... They don't last that long.
But if you're going to own it for a long time, I think you have to do more than that.
Yeah.
I think you like have to put it in epoxy or something. But even then, I don't know. Do you really think it's going to, is it a good investment? Do you think it's ever going to be worth more than
$99,999?
Probably not.
We're just going to like keep selling it more and more till eventually it just goes bad.
The question's not how much it's worth. Because we all know how much it's really worth. The question is how much people will pay for it.
Well, that's true of a lot of things. It's been a weird year. Like, people are buying JPEGs as a NFT. But buying a chicken nugget from a BTS meal that is shaped like an Among Us character, that's sort of peak 2021, I think.
Oh, yeah. So weird.
Very strange. I don't know how much... I feel like the most I would pay for one chicken nugget is maybe like a dollar. And I'd have to be hungry. And I would eat it. I would not keep it.
Yes.
No matter what shape it was. No. I probably wouldn't even occur to me, like, if I looked at it and went, oh, this is a strange shaped.
Someone could, like, propose to me with a chicken nugget and it still wouldn't be worth it for me to keep it. It could have so much sentimental value and I would take a picture of it.
Apparently, these types of shaped items, like a chicken nugget or, I don't know, a Cheeto or something, if it's strangely shaped, they go up on eBay all the time. This is just the most anyone's ever paid for it.
Crazy. Yeah.
Very strange. How much would you pay for a chicken nugget, George, John? You're rich now. You have a business.
He's a small business owner.
For a chicken nugget, just one?
Or like, yes, one chicken nugget with an interesting shape.
It depends on the shape. Like, if it's shaped like my face, then maybe I would pay it.
It looks just like you.
That would be pretty cool.
If it's identical, like all the tiny details.
If it was a perfect portrait of me, I would maybe pay $10. That might be my cap.
Like, if someone like took the time to like carve it into your exact face.
What if it was a perfect portrait of Olivia Rodrigo?
Probably still like $10.
Still $10.
She'd probably buy it for $10 and then sell it for much more than that.
But like $1,000.
Put it on my TikTok, get millions of hate comments, and then make that into being a TikTok influencer and make millions.
It sounds like a plan. I think you should still stay in college, though.
Probably should.
I think
so. I'm not currently in college, but I will be soon.
You will be back to college soon, and I think that's a good idea. Yeah. TikTok influencer notwithstanding. John, you want to share your story?
He would love to if I can pull it up.
A driver who got stuck on a golf course by following a GPS. So he was following his GPS and got stuck on a golf course. So, yeah, it's police in Massachusetts said a man who drove his CUV on a golf course and became stuck on the sixth hole told officers he had been led astray by his GPS app.
Way to go.
So I actually have kind of a similar story to this.
I have a story. I was gonna go into the family archive for this, but you can tell your story first.
Mine is pretty short, but when I was a missionary, the GPS, we lived really close to, in one of those areas I was in, a big Marine military base. And it kind of bordered our area. So it was kind of like two parts that we were by a lot. But the GPS took me into the military base. And it was like, I realized I was going in, but it was like too late to do a U-turn by the time I realized. And I was like, oh no. And so I've done this twice. Only once was because of the GPS. Once was just because I was dumb and didn't turn in time. Because I was trying to go to a turn that was like right by it. But the GPS took me in. And so like, you know, like a uniformed officer with like a rifle is like, hey, do you have an ID? And I'm like, the GPS took me here. I need to do a U-turn. And he had to like, you know, say something on his walkie talkie. And then he had to like escort me with his like giant rifle, like around my U-turn. And it was like so embarrassing, but he said it happened like literally all the time.
Oh yeah. So John, these people in Massachusetts, it sounds like they were doing turn by turn navigation. And they drove right into a golf course. Is there anything else you can tell us about that?
So it says the driver told police he had dropped some friends off at 2 a.m. and was following his Waze GPS, which led him onto the golf course. And the man took told police the darkness caused him to take a turn too wide and became stuck. So it was at 2 a.m.
So the moral of the story is watch where you're driving. Don't just follow the turn-by-turn navigation. I saw a picture from this story, and it looked like he had driven like way onto the golf course. It wasn't just like he sort of drove with one of his wheels, but he actually like turned right into the golf course.
Oh, yeah.
Very strange.
I'm looking at it. Not great. Not looking great.
So the story I was going to tell.
Family Archives?
What secrets does this ancient repository of power and knowledge hold?
Going back into the family archive, I think Phoebe will remember this because it used to come up a lot. When I very first had a smartphone, I got the Google Maps app on my smartphone, on my old, old Android phone. And for some reason, Mom wasn't with us. Allison wasn't with us. And we decided we were going to go get pizza.
I think maybe Mom and Elizabeth were off doing something, and we really, really wanted to go to this pizza place.
There's a pizza place out in Texas called Double Dave's Pizza, and they do like a pizza buffet. It's pretty good, and they also have these pepperoni rolls. They have all-you-can-eat pizza. It's a fun place, and there was one in the next town over. I think at that time there was not one in our town, but there was one in the next town over.
It wasn't even the next town over. It was 40.
Oh, so it was like a few towns over. And in an area we weren't that familiar with. So it was probably a good 20 miles away. And I said, it's okay, though, because I can just put in my Google Maps. And I plugged it in, and we got in the car, piled the kids in the car. Everybody was hungry. We drove, and I was following the directions, and we drove, and I was following the directions. And I turned, and the kids were like, this doesn't look like it. And I kept driving. And they were like, are you sure this is it? And I was like, yeah, I'm following my directions. And we reached this place, and the directions say, you have arrived. And I was in the middle of a cornfield, a wheat field. Anyway, some sort of field. And I was not at Double Dave's. In fact, I don't think I was anywhere close to Double Dave's. I think I finally figured out where it was, but it took me another like 10 or 15 minutes to get there.
This is like a pretty vivid memory in my mind for some reason. At the time it was so funny, but we were also like so hungry and so like over it. But we've been driving for forever. And when I think of it in my mind, I don't know if this is actually what it looked like, but it was like this huge wheat field. There's like literally nothing there. There's maybe like a shack off in the distance.
And it looked pretty like sketchy, like a place you could get lost or ambushed or something.
And it was perfect comedic timing. Just like at the perfect moment, right as we're like right in the middle of it, it's like, you've arrived at your destination. And we're all like,
and for years after that, like whenever I used my phone to navigate, Will would be like, are you sure? Are you sure? Because sometimes that doesn't work. Because you remember that one time when we were going to Double Dave's?
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to live that down.
It's like a classic Will move.
Yep. And sometimes still, like, you have to double check because sometimes it'll get off and it'll take you places where you really aren't going. Or it'll have the location wrong.
I definitely trespassed a lot using Google Maps, especially in that one area, because it was like super farmland, a lot of it, like very rural. And it was like kind of like the roads were a little sketchy and you weren't sure if it was actually a road. And there were definitely times where I was like, I think I'm trespassing on a farm.
Yeah, it can be a little strange. Or sometimes they'll send you down a road. You have to be careful too, like if you're in a place that has a lot of one ways. Sometimes the Google Map, most of the time the Google Map knows that, but sometimes it doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, or there's like a fenced off, like the road like is like blocked and you're like, well.
Yep, can't get here.
Yep.
All right. So there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is?
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
So for treat yourself this week, we've been talking about TikTok because of Phoebe's experience with TikTok. One of the things that's trending on TikTok right now is crazy food combinations. So we thought we would try some crazy food combinations on the podcast. The first one we're going to try, this one's really popular, is watermelon and yellow mustard. Let me play the TikTok that this comes from. I think this was the guy that initially put this on. He has 1.7 million views. Here it is.
Watermelon and yellow mustard, trust me on this, it is so good. Grab yourself a juicy watermelon, cut that baby up, juicy. Get yourself some French's yellow mustard, it has to be French's. Pour that sucker on, and cheers. It's so tangy, it's so vinegary, and it matches so well with the watermelon's sweet juiciness. Trust me, this is so good.
All right, so I've got some watermelon here. I've got some French's mustard, and we're going to try it on the podcast. Got my slice of watermelon. I put a whole bunch of mustard on it. Ted and Maggie, John's little brother and sister, have joined us for Treat Yourself for these crazy food combinations.
Hello.
We got watermelon and mustard first. Usually I mute the mics, but I'm just going to go ahead and leave the mics open so I can get everybody's reactions.
All right, we've got our little watermelon slices.
It's definitely strange. It's not what you'd expect. I mean, you wouldn't normally put mustard on a watermelon.
It kind of goes together better than you'd think, though.
But it's not bad. I wouldn't say it's delicious. It's not something... I mean, I think... Have you ever had tahini on watermelon? That's like...
Oh, I love tahini on watermelon.
Pepper. It's kind of sweet and salty and peppery. I like that a lot. This is not that, but it's sort of similar because there's a little bit of spiciness to the yellow mustard.
This tastes exact... Like, it... Eating it, I feel like I'm at like a cookout. Like, just got out of the pool and like accidentally got some mustard on my watermelon.
Yeah, and you just go ahead and eat it anyway.
Because anyway, really
it's
care.
On the same plate as your hot dog. I'm going to say it's okay. Like
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
Tingy feeling in like by the back of my cheekbones.
You thought it was gross?
Yeah.
Ew.
Seriously?
That is so gross.
All right.
I thought it was okay.
So we have a couple of okays, a couple of gross. What about Ted and Maggie?
I think it's meh.
Ted thinks it's meh.
Meh. M-E-H. Meh.
What about you, Maggie?
I think it's meh.
Maggie also thinks it's meh. All right. So wide variety. No one thought it was delicious, but Phoebe and I thought it was okay.
It tastes like an accident, but an accident that I would like eat anyway because I didn't really care.
Yeah. All right. The second one. This apparently is a celebrity food combination. Apparently, Selena Gomez likes this.
Today, I'm going to be trying the weird food combos that celebrities like to eat. First up in the series, we have Selena Gomez, who likes to eat Reese's peanut butter cups with pickles.
All right, so this one is you put a pickle slice on top of a Reese's peanut butter cup, bite into it, and try it. All right.
Okay, we only have enough for me and John, so we're only people who get to try it. But.
Well, I got a big old slice of Claussen's pickle that I've sliced up, put it on my peanut butter cup.
It doesn't taste like something that should go together. It was pretty good.
It does not taste like something to go together. I agree with that.
It had like a little like sweetness to it.
I don't like this. I think it's too sweet.
I didn't like the best. But I like it much better than the watermelon and cheese.
It's not disgusting. I don't think it's gross. I think it's meh.
I'm with you there. Like, it's not like it was like unpleasant to eat. Meh. But it didn't really work for me.
It's definitely two flavors that weren't meant to go together. It's not like peanut butter and chocolate. It is like peanut butter, chocolate, and something that was not meant to be eaten with peanut butter and chocolate.
I would rather try, like, if I could get, like, peanut butter and pickle, I would rather try that than try it with it's just the sweet throws me off. I don't know what it is, like the chocolate.
Yeah, that's the same way with me.
Like, yeah, very strange. And then the last one is Oreo with Easy Cheese.
Have you tried Oreos and Easy Cheese? Tastes exactly like a cheesecake. I have not tried this, but I do love me some cheesecake. Let's get it.
I got like 2 minutes before I gotta leave for work. So we're gonna make this quick.
All right, got the NBA Dynasty Oreos and the Easy
Cheese. You wanna try Oreos?
Thingamajig, how the hell you open this thing? Is that? Hold on. There we go. All right, Easy Cheese on Oreo. Look, it's the Leaning Tower of Cheesa. Cheers.
Did you catch the reference?
And the guy on this TikTok says it's delicious and gives it a 10 out of 10.
I don't see any way that this could taste like cheesecake.
All right. I'm going to try it.
That doesn't sound right to me.
It's a little hard to eat because the cookie crumbles when you bite into it.
Actually, I kind of see what he's saying. It's a little cheesecakey.
You know, strangely... And I didn't really expect to like this. I kind of think it's delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Same here.
I kind of expected to fully hate it. And I'm not going to say it's delicious, but I could see myself like coming home, like being up super late at night, coming home from like a late shift at work, being like slightly depressed and being like, I really want some Oreos and like Easy Cheese.
This does seem like a late night craving type thing.
Yeah, this is not one that you would generally have at 3:27 p.m., which is what it is in Utah right now. But I feel like if I had this at midnight, it'd be pretty good.
Do you think if you're like sitting on your couch and you got a big bag of Oreos and big can of Easy Cheese and you just keep eating them, there probably is something that's gone wrong in your life?
Big middle school party vibes.
Mm, I kind of like it. Phoebe, I feel like when you get married at your wedding reception, you should have servers with trays. And as hors d'oeuvres, they should be serving Oreos with Easy Cheese on them.
Absolutely not.
What do you think, guys? John?
It was so good.
Delicious? What about Maggie and Ted?
By far the best.
It was delicious.
I say it's okay.
John says it's okay.
That was Ted.
Sorry, it was Ted who said it was okay, but Maggie and John both think it's delicious. And what did you think? It was okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So I thought that was the best out of the three, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Easy Cheese and the Oreo was definitely the best of the three that we tried. I thought the second best was the watermelon with mustard, which was, it was okay. It wasn't something I would necessarily do again, but it wasn't bad. I would eat it. And I thought that the pickle and peanut butter cup was just kind of gross.
Yeah, it just didn't work.
I guess I called it meh, but not good.
Yeah, I liked it the other way around. Like, I loved the Oreo and Easy Cheese, second, I liked the Reese's with the pickle, but I didn't like the watermelon and mustard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks for being on the podcast. Thanks for joining us for Treat Yourself, Maggie and Ted. Thanks for being on the podcast today, Phoebe and John. And thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk Dab Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can email us at talkdabpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend about our family-friendly podcast. And the other thing you can do is you can leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, that helps other people be able to find the podcast too. So that would help us out that way. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for-